tonight or late this afternoon, we have already seen Giriraj Govardhan. And even more importantly, Giriraj Govardhan has seen us. And he has heard our prayers and our sankalpa desire. Giriraj Govardhan, from our point of view, looks very wonderful, most wonderful. But from the point of view of the Brijbasis, Giriraj Govardhan looked even more wonderful. Now, this expression, point of view, is very interesting. And indeed, what does it mean? It means that we view something from our own point of vision. And this is always the case. When there is an accident or a difficulty, if you ask 10 different people what happened, you will get 10 different answers usually. Now, what is Giriraj Govardhan most famous for? What is Krishna lifted Giriraj, and that was obviously so wonderful, especially for the residents of Vrindavan. But how did this same incident look from the viewpoint of other living entities? Before Krishna lifted Giriraj, there was an incredible amount of rain and lightning, thunder, and even hail. How much distress was caused to the Vrijbasis by angry Indra. From the point of view of the bulls, did you ever consider what that great storm was like from the point of view of the bulls? Listen. When the rain hit the horns of the bulls, it bounced off and landed on their thick and fatty humps, and it broke into hundreds of drops like pearls. And then it rolled down their broad and muscular backs. Oh, it was terrible for them. The fierce rainfall angered and tormented the bulls. And observing the torrents of rain, which came down as thick as the trunks of full-grown banana trees, the cowherd men, this is what it seemed like from the point of view of the cowherd men. It appeared as if it was the time of the devastation of the universe. Now, the bulls became angry. And how about the cows? Much more gentle than the bulls. The cows, they sheltered their calves under their blankets of their loose skin on their necks. And in fear of the slashing, cutting rainwater, the cows kept their eyes almost closed. Their tails hung straight down. When cows and calves are filled with jubilance, with happiness, the tails go straight up in the air and they jump. Calves have the ability to jump as if they were like on springs, practically speaking. They bounce. But there was no bouncing at this time. The cows were being tortured by the rain and they were only thinking of protecting their calves. And while standing in this painful condition, they looked towards Krishna for their shelter. The cowherd men, they approached Krishna and spoke to him. They were full of pain. They were full of agony. They said, "Oh Krishna, in the past you always have saved us. You are the source of our happiness. Now we are in great danger. And since you are the Lord of Gokul, immediately you must protect us." The earth is quickly being submerged in a flood, and we cannot even distinguish the high ground from the low ground. And the Sarabi cows are using their own bodies to protect their calves from the hailstorms. Just look around, Krishna. You can see for yourself. And with their tear-filled eyes, the cowherd men said, "The cows are speaking to you. Oh Krishna, once you saved us from a devastating forest fire, please save us from this terrible rainfall. Look at the condition of the bulls. Their faces and bodies are completely drenched in water. How much are your bulls suffering? This devastation seems like a big anarta that we cannot remove by ourselves. There may be some hints here in our own chanting of japa during this japa journey retreat. Only you can deliver us, Krishna, and therefore we surrender unto you. We are your loving kinsmen, so please save us." And after hearing their anxious pleas and seeing the distress of the cows and bulls and the calves, Krishna, whose beautiful lotus eyes are beautiful to behold, he considered, "This must be the work of angry Indra." And then, with a voice as sweet and soothing as honey, he spoke to his family and his friends, "Do not be afraid. Actually, this trouble is as insignificant as hunger pains to someone who has just eaten a big feast." Non-existent Krishna said, "Don't worry." And then, Krishna, whose body is as beautiful as a soft flower. Do you remember that when Krishna climbed the Kadamba tree before he jumped into the Yamuna to chastise? What did he do? He tied back his hair. He tightened his belt because he was getting ready for a fight. But Krishna at this time, without even tightening his cloth, he showed complete indifference to the mighty wrath of Indra. To Indra, a slap in his face. And then instantly, with no effort, Krishna picked up Govardhan Hill. Excuse me. Not with two hands, but with one hand. And he held it aloft with no more effort than it takes for a child to hold up a small mushroom or an elephant to hold up a clump of grass. But when that mountain rose into the air in all directions, loud sounds echoed. And the echoes sounded like a bunch of rowdy Gurukula children yelling. The lifting of Govardhan Hill produced an angry, loud noise. Do you know that earthquakes produce noise? They sound like, ah! Yes? We have witnesses, yes? When Krishna lifted up Govardhan Hill, he made a loud sound that crushed the pride of the elephants guarding the eight directions. And that furious sound roamed around and around within the coverings of the universe. Now, Krishna was holding up Govardhan Hill, and it was raining, pouring, thunder, lightning, and hail. What was Giriraj Govardhan's experience? Listen to this. It's quite sweet and astounding. Sri Hari, his effulgent jewel-like body was washed by the moonlight of his smile. The soothing moonlight of his smile. And he instantly removed whatever hardship, difficulty Giriraj felt from the lightning bolts, the heavy hailstones, and the great rain, and the high piercing winds. Krishna personally took away the difficulties that Giriraj might have been experiencing. And please listen to this. Seeing Krishna's effulgence, and as Krishna was holding up Giriraj, he had the unique experience of feeling the sweet breath of Krishna that came from his lotus face. And Giriraj felt totally relieved while relishing this exciting adventure of the Lord. Now, Krishna held up Giriraj Govardhan for how many days? How many? 7 days. How many days is our retreat? 7 days. Ah, Giriraj can hold us up too. For 7 long days, the monsoon rains and terrible earth-shattering winds tortured the people of the world with bitter suffering and untold miseries. But serene and peaceful Giriraj was not the least bit disturbed, because he was constantly bathed by the rains and he was covered by the fragrance of Krishna's body. Giriraj looked absolutely radiant and beautiful throughout the entire ordeal. By the mercy of Krishna, the danger finally ended, and in the distance, the Brijbasis saw the gateways and rooftops of their houses glittering attractively from being washed by the heavy rains. Of course, Krishna invited all the Brijbasis to come under, and he said, "Don't worry. Giriraj, did you see how easily I lifted Giriraj? Because he has become so light, it wasn't difficult at all for me. So don't worry that Giriraj might fall from my hand. He is just being held up as easily as a feather." And underneath the hill, there was a wonderful village with perfect residences for everyone, and grass for the cows to graze on as well. So when it was time to put the hill down, a fresh, clear sky appeared to fill all directions with auspiciousness, and the people of Vrindavan felt they had just emerged from a deep, dark well of calamity and come to the light of their good fortune. The entire time the Brijbasis were under the hill, they were all just looking at Krishna, completely charmed by his beauty, by his qualities, by his form, and by this wonderful pastime. when it came time for Krishna to put the hill down, first he told the cows to go out. With his eyes, he indicated for the cows to go out. And the cows ran out because they were fully obedient to Krishna. And Krishna remained holding up the hill. And when the cows were out, they turned back and saw that Krishna was still under the hill. And they ran back because they did not want to be separate from Krishna for even a moment. But then Krishna again indicated for them to go out, and all the residents of Vrindavan went out, and Krishna put down the hill again. All glories to Giriraj Govardhan, who shared such an intimate pastime with Krishna, with the Brijbasis. And as Maharaj has said, he is Haridasa Varjo. This is his pleasure, serving everyone who wants to serve Krishna. So this is who we're associating with. We're associating with so many devotees, and we are associating with Giriraj Govardhan. I have been asked to speak something about the holy name of Krishna. Because after all, this is a japa retreat, a holy name retreat really, japa and kirtan. Could you put a little of this warm water in there, please? And I thought of a wonderful place to begin our glorification of the holy name, because we are being asked, as Maharaj has said, to turn to Krishna. This is the great turning for the soul. Sadhana bhakti is defined by Srila Jiva Goswami as the process of going, of turning towards Krishna, from having our back turned to Krishna to facing Krishna directly with great happiness and great love. Now, we have an opportunity to quickly move in this direction, to turn to Krishna and to take shelter of Krishna. A wonderful opportunity, because really we have nothing else to do during our time here. That is the purpose of a retreat, to leave the rest of our life behind and place ourselves in a situation where we can face the reality of our relationship with Krishna. Now, as Maharaj also said, sometimes to face our relationship with Krishna, which we'll all have to do when we face the holy names, when we begin to chant in japa and kirtan, especially in japa, we will get a glimpse of our relationship with Krishna. Do we run from Krishna, or do we turn to Krishna? So here is a time now, this 7 days, where we can practice our turning to Krishna. And we understand and keep in mind that this is the purpose of why we are here. This is why we have come, to turn to Krishna. We have written our sankalpas, our intentions, and they all have to do with turning to Krishna. Forgetting sarva upari vaniya muktam, forgetting so many different conceptions that we have of who we are, what we have to do, so many duties. And during this time, we have one duty, to turn to Krishna. Now, the test of this, sadhan kore, bhajan kore, mrityu janle hoy. The test of our sadhana comes ultimately for everyone at the time when we are leaving this world. I wanted to speak a little bit about Maharaj Parikshit. We are familiar with his story, and we know that he was a great king, the son of Abhimanyu, the great warrior, the grandson of Arjuna. He was a Pandava king, powerful. And yet, due to an arrangement by Krishna, he was cursed to die within 7 days. Now, fortune, misfortune, within the greatest misfortune is often the seed of the greatest fortune. But in any case, it was Krishna's arrangement. Krishna wanted the Bhagavatam to be spoken, and there's one comment by Srila Prabhupada in one of his purports that Kali Yuga had to come because sinful reactions had been accumulating in the world, and sinful reactions produce sinful acts, sinful desires, and sinful acts. So Kali Yuga had to come as sinful desires and sinful acts and sinful reactions were accumulating. But Kali Yuga could not enter in the presence of Maharaj Prickett, because he was a powerful Pandava prince. So Krishna had to remove him and bring him towards him, bring him home. And he wanted the Bhagavatam to be spoken, because through the Bhagavatam, if we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, think about it, that Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, he did not feel His time was right to come to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna and Krishna consciousness all over the world until he had the Bhagavatam translated, the first canto. And when he arrived, he said that people, just by hearing the Bhagavatam, the reactions that cover our heart will be removed. And people will become enlivened. Souls will become enlivened in service to Krishna. So the Bhagavatam was so important, and Maharaj Prickett was supposed to hear it from Sukadev Goswami. So when Maharaj Prickett found out that he was going to leave this world, he did not try to counteract the curse. He did not counter curse. He accepted it. And then the great question came to his mind, what should I do? Because when one learns that one's days are numbered, a terror can enter the heart, because all our illusory security, all the things that we turn to when we're in difficulty, they vanish, or their true worth becomes revealed, and they are basically worthless to help us. So what was Maharaj Prickett to do? First thing he did is he renounced all other duties, not in an irresponsible way, but he handed over his kingdom to his son, Janmanjaya, and he went to the bank of the Ganga or the Yamuna, and he decided, I'm not going to eat anything or drink anything until the 7 days are up. I want to just focus my consciousness and prepare for the time of my passing. Because what fills one's consciousness at the time of passing is the most important thing. It dictates our next life. So when great sages from all over the creation heard that the king had renounced and he had vowed to fast until death, they all came to support him. And when Maharaj Prickett saw them, he felt himself so fortunate. And he said, usually sages keep away from kings. They don't want to become entangled in that which infects a king's consciousness. They want to remain free from all material desires and power and wealth, etc. So Maharaj Prickett thanked them for coming. And he then he said, due to my attachment to worldly life, this curse has come upon me. It is Krishna's mercy. It is God's mercy. Because in this way, out of fear, I will detach myself from the world. So the most unfortunate event occurred to him, and he saw it somehow or another as Krishna's kindness. Tateinu kampam susumikshamano. He saw it, Krishna's mercy in it. And this was not artificial. This was his actual consciousness. This cannot be bluffed. He was deep. It is not something, oh, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's mercy. We say Krishna's mercy when the rock falls on someone else's toe. Krishna's mercy, Prabhu. But when the hammer hits me in the head, then my mind goes mad and runs to so many other shelters, anger and fear, etc. And then he said to them, I don't want you to counteract this curse. I only desire that you all continue singing the glorious deeds, activities of Krishna. Now he asked them for a blessing. And when I read this with some consciousness, I thought this blessing was wonderful. He said, offering obeisances to all of you brahmanas, I pray that if I should take my birth again in the material world, he asked for three things. By your grace, I want complete attachment to Krishna. I want the association with devotees, and I want a friendly relationship or friendly relations with all living beings. How wonderful. What a heart Maharaj Prickett had. And then he asked them two questions. Show me the way of perfection. He begged this. Show me the way of perfection for all persons, especially for one who is about to die. And as he was asking this question, the sages, as I've noted that sages, astrologers, and doctors, they always tend to disagree about their opinions about things. So the sages, I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, that the sages began to argue amongst themselves about what should he do? What is the best thing for him to do at this crucial time when he was going to die? And that's the last thing you want, different people arguing about what you should do, because you need to fix your mind on one thing only. Your time is running out and it's crucial. And then by the greatest fortune, Sukadeva Goswami appeared. And when he appeared, this great sage, the foremost of sages, the son of Vyasadeva, everyone became silent. They stood up with respect and they offered him the most honored seat. And the king was, because this, he understood, this was specifically the grace of Krishna. And Prabhupada explains this in his purport. When devotees appear, or devotees are there, when it is time for one to leave one's body, it is considered the special mercy of the Lord. So he asked Sukadeva, he greeted Sukadeva and spoke wonderfully to him. Sukadeva was so renounced, completely renounced, completely. And Maharaj Prickett asked him that same question and asked, you are the spiritual master of great saints and devotees. I am begging for you to show the way of perfection for all persons, especially the way of perfection for all persons, everyone, in all circumstances, but especially for one about to die. Please let me know what a man should hear, chant, and remember in worship, and what he should not do. Please explain all this to me. And basically, that's how the first canto ends. The beginning of the second canto is the question is starting to be answered. And the first thing, Sukadeva replies and says, this question is itself glorious. What to speak of the answer? What am I supposed to be doing? What is the best thing for me to do with my life? What should I be hearing about? What should I be speaking about? What should I be remembering? So Sukadeva said, this question is glorious. And then he has, there's some other verses, the next three verses, 2, 3, and 4. He says what people usually do, how they waste their lives. It's shortened by every rising and setting of the sun with no gain, chasing after clouds and ashes and other things that fade into nothingness in the passage of time, attached to the fallible soldiers only, one's family only, thinking of them as their bodies only, trying to take shelter in them as if they can truly protect us. He said, don't be like this and don't be envious of others, he said. But rather, he says, and then this is the first of two very important verses, he says, Tasmat Bharata Savatma Bhagavan Ishwarohiri. So Tavya Kirta Tavyas Chasmatavyas Chaitstate Bhayam. If you want to be free from fear, and fearing is the deepest of human emotions, or it's the emotion that afflicts every conditioned soul more than any other emotion, it is fear. If you want to become from fear, you should hear about, glorify, and also remember Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because He is the controller. He is the Ishwara. And He is Hari. He takes away. He can save us from all miseries, all fear. He is our shelter. And therefore we should hear about Him and chant about Him and glorify Him and remember Him. So that's the fifth verse. And then Sukadeva said, and remembering Him is the highest perfection. Remembering Him at the time when we will leave this world. And then he explains that the topmost transcendentalists, they get pleasure. Their pleasure is to describe the glories of Krishna. It brings pleasure to their hearts. It is cultivated pleasure. But this is transcendental pleasure above everything in the material world. And where did he, Sukadeva Goswami, get this information? He got it from his father, Śrīla Vyāsadeva. And he already was situated in transcendence. He was on the Brahman platform. Atmaramas cha muneo nagranta piyarukrami korventi ahaitaki bhakti tanguna gunahari. Everyone can get pleasure from hearing about Krishna. And that Bhagavatam, he said, I will now recite before you. Now this 11th verse is noted by our acharyas, especially Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, as the direct answer to the question of what should every person do at all times, and especially at the time of death. Etanna vidyamananam ichitam akuto bayam yoginam nripanirnitam harinam anukirtanam. And this is the answer to the question. O King, this is what we should do. This is the essence of all advice. This is what the Japa retreat is about. The Japa Kirtan retreat is about. It is turning to the essence, our actual consciousness in relationship with Krishna. And the direct way of doing this, regardless if we are yogis, and there are some yogis, great yogis amongst us, or whether we are not interested in anything of this material world, completely detached, and great, great devotees, or if we are full of material desires, ichitam. Regardless of everyone's situation, this medicine, Baba Oshud, it's the medicine that will cure the disease of repeated birth and death. This medicine is prescribed for everyone by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by Sukadeva Goswami. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless, because it's after the ways of the great authorities. We don't have to doubt it. We should not doubt it. People who are deeply realized, completely realized, is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. So Prabhupada, I'll read just a few lines from Prabhupada's purports, and then I'll read some of what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has said. Srila Prabhupada says, in this verse, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, this is the recommendation of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, I'm stopping because it's such an important point. What will be the result of offenselessly chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord? One will become acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then his attributes, and then with his pastimes. The holy names will lead us to Goloka Vrindavan. Everything will be revealed by Krishna's holy names. How fortunate we are to have 1 week where really we don't have anything else to do except to concentrate on this one point. Let us take shelter of Krishna's holy names. Become acquainted with Krishna's names, his form, his pastimes, and his attributes. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this verse answers the question. Amongst all the angas, all the limbs or parts of bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, etc., hearing, chanting, and remembering are the three chief ones. This has been stated in verse 5, tasmat bharata savarma. Amongst those three, chanting is the chief. In chanting, however, there is chanting of the Lord's names, his qualities, and his pastimes. Again, these are the words of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And amongst those, anukirtanam is the best. That means chanting the names according to one's bhakti. Priyanama kirtya. Evam vrata sa priyanama kirtya. We should chant the names of Krishna, and that is the best thing. And we should chant with great love. Or it means continuous chanting. It is defined or decided upon by the previous acharyas, not just by me, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, as if his authority, his own authority, is somehow in some way insufficient. So humble. This is the conclusion of the previous acharyas, that we should chant Krishna's names. Therefore, he says, there is no need of inquiry for proof. In chanting, there is no fear of purity or impurity concerning time, place, person, and utensils. Everyone should chant, is his conclusion. It is only beneficial. But we should chant offenselessly and continuously. Now, That's what we're here to do. And we'll have so much time to do this. And we want to clear away all the other parts of our consciousness that tell us there are so many urgent things that we have to do now. But really the great necessity is to turn to Krishna. So let us take this time that we've put away now for this. Thank you. Now, I want to shift a little bit to one detail of something that can be extremely helpful for our consciousness while we're trying to chant during this week especially. And I'll tell you a story that's actually true, that many years ago in Vrindavan, probably in the mid 80s or maybe from 85, somewhere between 1985 and 1990, I can't remember that far back, but we all the devotees all in Vrindavan, I don't know exactly how it is now, but everyone used to take vows for Kartik. During Kartik, I'll chant more rounds or eat less sweets or eat more sweets. Or there was one Gujarati devotee who took the ultimate vow of not eating any sweets in Kartik. And for a Gujarati, that was very difficult. So we chant. One year I vowed to read a story from the Krishna, a pastime of the Krishna book, of Krishna every day. And some devotees walk around Vrindavan and every day bathe in the Yamuna. I was talking to one devotee just before Kartik was about to begin, and he said, "Why make those kind of vows? We do that every year. Why don't you make a really interesting vow this year?" I said, "What is that?" And he said, "Why don't you vow not to criticize any devotees?" And I thought, wow, what a great idea. I'm going to vow not to criticize any devotees. And indeed, I took that vow to not criticize any devotees in the month of Kartik. And I lasted maybe an hour. And what happened to me, but I'm exaggerating, because I don't think I lasted an hour actually. But what happened to me, I went from unconscious unawareness of how much I criticized devotees, and I took one step upward to conscious awareness of how much I criticized devotees. Or rather, the right way to say it is, I went from unconscious incompetence, when you're not aware of how incompetent you are at something, to conscious incompetence. I became aware of how incompetent I was at this one thing. So I heard fairly recently, about a system that some devotees were using. And it was so amazing because one devotee told me about it, that he did it. And then I went to China, and one of the devotees in China had one of these bands on. And I said, "You are doing this too?" And he said, "Yes, I've taken this vow." It's really interesting. And what I'd like to suggest, that all brave souls take the vow of, during this one week of the retreat, not to criticize devotees and not to complain, to make it even more interesting. Neither to complain or criticize devotees. You can, out loud at least. Inside we don't even count. But don't let it, because what will happen is that we become aware of how much we do these kind of things. And you can feel it. You can feel it yourself. I've seen it myself. When I'm just talking to someone, just casually, for no reason, blah, 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 and I just throw out a criticism of some devotee, and I could feel my heart go like this. You can feel the heart close up. And we do it casually, for no reason, because it gives us pleasure to say bad things about devotees. But this is not the mood that Maharaj Prickett was begging the Brahmins for. Rather, we want to be the well-wisher of everyone. This is the heart of a Vaishnava. Now, to make it practical, we have to talk a little bit about what complaining is and what complaining isn't. Complaining and criticizing is focusing the consciousness on what we don't want. And it tends to make us more conscious of bad things. And we want to be Krishna conscious. Complaining is when you talk to the wrong person about things that are truly disturbing you, but just to get it out of your system. Sometimes we say, you know, Prabhu, this bad thing, boy, I'm really glad that I was able to release that. But you're releasing it on someone, and they have to carry it now, your bad thoughts. So what we do, it's not that we have to walk around with blinders and not see anything that's wrong, but talk about what you want to happen instead of, boy, they don't have any hot water in this place. You know, boy, these people, they don't know how to, because they don't have hot water. Do we have hot water, by the way? Sometimes. But instead, you could even say, it would be so nice to have more hot water. Put it in the positive. I'm used to hot water, and it would make it so much easier for me if there was hot water. So that's positive, and the heart doesn't go, but when you say, boy, there, you can feel it. The heart will go like this. And talk to someone who can help. Or, Giriraj, let there be hot water. You can actually do it. No one else can do it. You can always tell by whether you have the internal satisfaction or dissatisfaction. Expression of grief, discontent, or pain to a person, expressing that, who can actually help. There's no problem with that. That's not complaining. This is if you talk to the right people about the right thing. Sharing your feelings about something that has happened, when it's required for you to process what's happened. That's not a complaint. But just going on and on in your mind, especially going over the same event and event and event and criticizing in that way, that's a complaint. Sticking to the facts is not a complaint. Going to someone who can actually help. Explain what you want and hold the focus to the facts. That's not a complaint. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on what you want to happen, what the resolution is. Talk about what you desire and only to one who can help you get your desire. That's not a complaint. Focusing on what you don't want to occur tends to make it happen in many ways, or you become conscious of those type of things, the negative things. That creates sort of a bad energy and a bad mood. I've seen this when I was teaching. This is one principle I learned when I was teaching, is that when you're in a bad mood and you have children in the classroom, when you're in a bad mood, you see only the things they do wrong. And then you're angry, stop doing that, and stop doing that, and stop doing that. And the more you deal with them like that, it seems like the more bad things they do, and everything they do is disturbing. So one of the things we learned how to do is you have to change your consciousness to seeing good. And then when you see the good, then the young children seem to start doing good things, because it's really the consciousness that has to be changed, and that's the process of Krishna consciousness. So when we've taught teachers this technique, when you're in a real bad mood and everyone seems to be doing everything wrong, you have to find good things. You have to search and find good things. And even as the example I always find myself using, even if all you can say is, "Devarishi, you're breathing so nicely. Great job of breathing, Devarishi." And then you say, "Yeah, he does breathe really nicely. He also plays the drum really nice. Not only is he breathing nice, he sells Baladev." And then you start seeing good, and then you start being happy because it's miserable being miserable. So in any case, what we do is we take the vow, I'm not going to complain or criticize this for the time of the japa retreat. And we put one of these little, this is a mystical Vrindavan band composed of four mystical Vrindavan bands, five even, and that has great significance. It has to do with the Panchatattva and so many different things. And it's been mystically prepared by our mother Purnamasi, Jagatirini Mataji, and her assistants. And all you have to do, it's really simple, that every time you complain or you criticize, all you have to do is take it from one hand and put it on the other wrist. That's all. And then if you criticize again, you take it from one hand, one wrist, and put it on the other wrist. That's all. And the goal in the way that the system works is to go 21 days without criticizing or complaining. And that can take months and months and months and months and months. And the first thing is you become conscious of how much you do it, because you keep moving your band from hand to hand to hand to hand to hand to hand. And your friend says, "That was a criticism. All right, I caught you. Okay." And you just move it back and forth. And sometimes I found myself when I was doing this to say, "Okay, I'm just going to move it a few times in advance because I know what's going to happen in a few minutes." But none of that. We can play with it as much as we want because this is just between us and us. So anyone who would like to take the vow just for the sheer thrill of it, we have a band for so many devotees. So you can get one if you can come up after. And the Matajis, you have your band there? You have your banded ones? Okay. And if anyone doesn't want to do it, it's okay also. We won't criticize or complain about you. Now, Maharaj will now explain a system that we will use to keep up the momentum of this, in addition, and we'll link it with the sankalpa, and this is the soon to become famous Sakasaki system.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Purijam Prabhu, and I certainly will try this with this wristband. I'm surprised, but I'm eager to learn what will happen. So I understand, as you first become aware of how much you do this unwanted activity, and from there, from this awareness,
you become conscious of what you're doing, and then you decide, "I don't want to do this anymore." Because you can't decide. And you start catching yourself.
Yes.
And then...
Okay, thank you. Yes, I understand. My dear devotees, there's a lot of research being done on how you learn something. This with the wristband seems to be one. I saw it on a lot of people's wrists in America now. It's it Devotees in America, I saw it a lot, and I'm now getting, I will do this also. There's another system. The human being learns the best from another human being. When you have a new subject matter, something which you want to learn, and you discuss about this with someone who is somewhat close to you, it makes the deepest impression on you. Like when you have, we have this in Rupa Goswami's writing, that we should reveal the mind in confidence to a friend or to another devotee, actually, and ask questions, that because this is really how you do make advancement, by this personal interaction. So during the retreat, we have the interaction between the teachers and their audience. But that alone is only one way in which we learn. We want to introduce the soon to become famous Sakasaki system, SSS.
Super Sakasaki
system. Yes. which allows you really to reflect the subjects which you are learning every day, and in this way bring them into a deeper space into your consciousness. What the system really is that you find yourself a person to whom you can confide. It should be someone you either know and you feel friendly towards them, or it's a person who does look sympathetic to you and you feel we are on a similar or same wavelengths. So we will soon request you to find such a person, and then every morning before the classes start and every evening after the classes have started, you meet with this person for a few minutes, not necessarily very long, and you just quickly review what you have learned anew. And you will see, as you sit with your sakhi, girls sit with the sakhis, not men. The men sit with the sakha. Sakha means friend, really. And go through the subjects. You will see how the subjects come one level deeper. And most properly, what I have personally seen when I did it, and what I've also heard during our japa retreats in the West, where we have this system, there it's called the buddy system, but it really sounds so buddy. So, you know, like almost like the body. That Burijan Prabhu's idea was to call it the Sakisaka system. You will certainly meet many people in the temples who will ask you, what was that? What is this, the Sakisaka system? Or is it called Sakasaki? Sakasaki system. We have to make it, that sounds more phonetically rolling. You will learn most properly, the most, from these brief interactions with your sakhi, if you are a girl, or with your sakha, if you are a male person. So, what I will request, what we will request you is to review how good you were, for instance, in the complaint-free rubber band method, you know. Or the second question is, what did you learn today? And the third question is yet to be revealed tomorrow. I will not tell it now. So I request you maybe to look around and find your sakha or sakhi, and I forgot to, yes, and with this person you can now everything makes sense. You have to talk about your sankalpa and how well you did. Do you understand? Yes, it will really help you to remain on track with your sankalpa. You could say, what was your sankalpa? And you hear, my sankalpa was to chant attentively rounds. And then you ask your sakha will ask you, so how are you doing? You say, not very good. I'm and your sakha might say, oh, I learned something new. Huh? Try this. So please, let us make a, now let us take let us take some time to find your friend, so to say, with whom you will stay together during the whole retreat. Mm-hmm. Married people can obviously be with their spouse or their marriage partner. So please find your friend now. My dear devotees, it's very important that you find someone who is compatible, because this whole journey through the retreat will be together with your sakhi or sakha. So, Haribol, 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 Haribol. It's nice that you talk already. It seems to work. Oh, my dear devotees, please put on the brakes on your talking abilities. Here was a good question. Madhajis, you are extremely well versed in talking. Wonderful. But please now listen for a moment. Here a question came. In this system, this devotee told me, usually you have three types of relationship. There is a relationship of a superior to an inferior, or not inferior, you know, younger devotee, where the superior gives his blessing and the younger devotee sees his superior as someone worshipable or adorable or very respectable. You have the relationship between peers, that is equal friends. And you have the relationship, maybe I said it already at the beginning, but it's the third relationship is in instructing. So you look up to someone, you are equal, or you help compassionately someone who's under you. So this Sakhi-Sakha system It sounds so traditional, you know, so the Sakhi Beda or the Sakhi, this group from Radhakund, you know, some upper samurai. But it is nice, it has a ring and it will certainly evoke tremendous curiosity, you know. So then you explain it's not that, it's something harmless, you know, it's a friend system. So, yes, so the devotee said, when I'm with someone who looks up to me, I just can't open my heart so easily and that person will not allow that I am acting on an equal level with them. So, if that is the case, that means if you can't really talk with your sakha, then you can go to someone who has maybe already a sakha and be with them. What I did find out, however, in my life is something quite interesting. See, I'm usually seen as a superior person who walks around with garlands, and people fall on the ground, you know, and so on. But what I found out that sometimes there are devotees who are considering me their superior, but I make it very clear that I'm now interested to talk on certain subjects as if we are equal. And I do learn a lot from their different perspective. So if that is possible, please do it. But if it is not possible, that means if the conversation doesn't flow the way it should flow between equal-minded people, then you kindly go to someone. But it's important that you have someone and you talk with them every day on these two subjects. Purijan Prabhu, can you please help me, because brother sleep is coming from behind and I'm losing my thoughts. First of all, talk on your sankalpa. How are you doing with your...
Because we're supposed... I remember you mentioned in the Govardhan retreat, you should read it in the morning when you get up
early,
to remember what your focus is, and keep it in your mind when you go to sleep at night, and keep it in your mind what you're doing, what you're supposed to be doing while you're here. So rather than particularly talking about the depths of your sankalpa, but you can talk about how well you're maintaining it in that way. Yes, yes. And the second thing is how you're doing with the... in the morning and the evening, you talk about how you're doing with your complaints and criticisms. And the third thing is what you're learning, what's really striking you with your chanting and sharing realizations in that way.
The idea is that, you know, during the retreat, you want to reflect on what is going on. And in this way, not just walk through it like you walk through a class or so on, but you want to reflect it, because by the Sanskrit word is manaha, reflecting, you bring the subject matter, which is sometimes a little abstract, into the heart. Huh? Even if you reflect about something totally different, but these are some ideas. Your sankalpa, how well are you doing? You are living in a complaint-free
and
criticism-free retreat. And then what have you learned? You will see, as you churn this, it becomes more clear to you. All right. It's all, you can do this briefly before the classes start. You can sit in the warm winter sun outside, or during prasadam. Well, during prasadam you want to eat, but after prasadam you can reflect, and like this, huh? So may the sakka-sakhi system fulfill your heart with tremendous realization.